Welcome to the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast with me, your host, Danny Kennedy, and you're listening to episode number 33. Hi guys, welcome back to this week's episode of the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast, and today we are extremely lucky to be joined by the absolute master of online coaching, Lynn Trinh. So Lynn, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, my man. How's everyone going? I hope you're well. Really honoured to be on this show, man. You're doing some really cool things. So looking forward to answering questions and hopefully giving people as much insight as possible.
Beauty. And I know you guys today are going to take so much value out of today's podcast. I know I take a lot of value out of pretty much every episode that you put up as well on your podcast, Lynn. So I want to start off the show by basically just asking you, when did you start out as a PT?
Yeah, man, really, really interesting. I started out in 2007. I just finished high school, and I was wondering what I could do. And I was waiting for my, tertiary inter school to come out at the time. And I was a chubby kid. I grew up as a chubby kid. I think I was about 17 at the time. And I got into fitness purely for my own need because I thought if I became a personal trainer, I would know how to get into shape. And it was really for my own selfish need, to be honest. So I did a course, and I think it was ACE. I'm not sure specifically the name. I can't remember. It was 2007. I was 17 at the time. And finishing that course off, I started my personal training career. And the courses at the time back then, they weren't like these eight-week online courses that you knew. I think I did about 6 months full-time. And then it was really, really good. But it wasn't the course that helped me get into shape, funnily enough. It was really basic, fundamental stuff and pivotal. And then, 2007, 2008 was when I started working inside Fitness First. And I went all in. One of the biggest things was, I had the choice between security and going and working at a YMCA gym around my area here in Melbourne. Or I thought, okay, Fitness First was one of those things where I was like, cool, I love the environment, I love the buzz. And it was one of those things where I thought, okay, if I work at Fitness First, I will just be perceived as a successful trainer. Inside of my mind, it was like, okay, if I can go and work at QV, and pay $350 worth of rent, I think it was at the time, a week, and you pay rent because you pay Fitness First to give you a facility to train your clients, and every client that you get, you get to keep completely 100% of the money.
Yeah.
And that was the journey for me. Man, in 2008, I got into it out of my own need to get into shape, really. And it was one of those things where I was like, if I become a personal trainer, I will know how to get myself into shape. Only because I struggled with getting abs for so long. That was my start, man.
Yeah, for sure. And then, so obviously after you were doing your one-on-one PT and face-to-face PT, you then transitioned into online coaching, which was, I guess, probably a massive step, not only for you personally, but obviously for your career, considering where kind of you are now. So what was the transition into online training and what was the process like? Did you go, from one day training, a full book of clients, the next day going, see you later, guys, I'm going to online? Or did you transition, or what was it like?
Danny, really good question, man. And for me, like going through being a personal trainer throughout the years when I was at uni, finishing off my physiotherapy degree, I was probably earning about $2,000 a week working part-time. It was really, really, really good money. And I'd done it for about 5 to 6 years. And I thought, okay, what's the next step to kind of move forward? Because as a personal trainer, when you work inside the gym, you kind of just think, okay, you're rocking up, you're doing your sessions, a week flies by, you're making cash, you go on holidays, you don't earn any money, you go back and you keep doing that and time again. And, for me, going through my 20s, that was a great way to have a lot of income, because it's a great income for what you do and you enjoy it. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, definitely.
For me, over the 5 years, I built up this sense of dissatisfaction. I was like, what am I doing with my life? Where am I going? Do I want to open a gym? What else do I want to do with my life? And for me, the natural progression was opening a gym. It was opening a gym. And initially, I thought, okay, I'm going to open a gym. And I thought, how can I find a better way to leverage myself first so then I know the tools and the systems? And when I took that stepping stone, this was in 2013, and I moved to a gym 24-hour Anytime Fitness that just opened up in Melbourne CBD, and I thought, okay, this is cool for a fresh start, because if I want to open a gym, I need to model someone else. So I went over and I started training there. And funnily enough, you know, I started to learn the systems of the gym and understand the intricate details. And I launched what I call a hybrid program. It's taking myself from one-to-one, because as a personal trainer, you get paid to train a client for 45 minutes to an hour. And at the time it was $80 for a 45-minute session. And I just thought, how can I leverage myself so that I work less and I kind of make more money, but I help more people globally. And so I had a mentor, his name's Travis Jones, he's also in Melbourne, and he worked with me at Fitness First in QV as well, and we developed this kind of like a hybrid program where I would train guys, I'd take guys through a 12-week body transformation, because in 2012 I competed in a bodybuilding show and I won by default. Like nobody rocked up. And so that gave me this, and it was super, like it was super embarrassing, but super cool now that I think about it. Right?
Yeah. Nobody has to know that no one else rocked up.
Nobody knows. I've got the trophy. So nobody rocked up. I prepped for this comp, but I came back to Fitness First and everyone was like, oh, Lynn, you know, I heard you want to come. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, can you train me? And so I attracted more guys, naturally more corporate guys wanting to get in shape. And that was always my niche, because these were the guys that I love to train, because, you know, when we train clients, and a variety of clients, we train everyone. There are some clients that you just bond and gel with, then time flies. And then there's others where you're just looking at the clock.
Yeah.
And dude, I'll say it how it is, because this is me, you know, revealing the journey. You know, there were clients where I'd look at the clock and I'd be massaging them with foam rollers, and I didn't feel fulfilled by that. And there were some other guys that just got results, and I love working with them. So I put together a 12-week transformation program, showing them my steps, my journey, but it was purely niche down for guys. Like I called it taking a guy from zero to hero, Clark Kent. You know, that was my target market. And so it was really cool, because the first time, you know, I was charging $67 a week to get access to that program. And what happens is they'd get once a week workshop. They come in on Saturday morning, 12 guys in one group. They would all train with me and we'd focus on one foundational body part, whether it's squats. And then throughout that week, we would be in a Facebook group and I would be uploading videos and giving them what to do until the next meeting. And so that was really cool, because they got amazing results. They actually got better results than my one-to-one clients. And awesome. This was really, really interesting. Not because the program was better, but purely because of the fundamental shift in their mindset, that they had social pressure, they had a group, they had group camaraderie, right? They were like, oh my God, I'm rocking up with this guy and he's getting amazing results. And now that motivated each other. And it was energy within itself that kept growing and growing and growing. I didn't do anything. I didn't realize what was happening, right? And so in the end, long story short, I opened, I think, five groups on Saturday, and I had two groups on Sunday. So my day on Saturday looked like this, like 7 a.m. to 12 p.m. And then I would do 9 and 10 a.m. on Sunday. And I was making more money in those 12 weeks than I had like in a year. Actually, more than that. But it was ridiculous.
What an eye-opener.
You know, for me, that was when it was like, okay, cool. I know how to market, and you know, I was running Facebook ads at the time to get people in and referring people, but I had a way to leverage myself. Like I didn't have to work Monday to Friday. All I could do was run these workshops and pull in 3-4K a week just working Saturday morning, right? So that was the biggest eye opener for me. And you know, at the times, moving out to a gym didn't seem such a good idea, because there were all these 24-hour gyms popping up everywhere during 2014 and 15. And I thought, okay, cool. I'm not particularly good at managing people anyway. I hate it. Like, I want to travel. I want to work on my own terms. I don't want to rock up to a specific location at a specific time running meetings day in and day out.
Yeah,
and I thought, and then it came to me and I thought, Danny, what if I could do the same thing but bring it online? What if I could run the same format, the same 12-week program, bring it online, and instead of those workshops, we would do weekly webinars, or we would do seminars, or we would do something else that fulfilled that, right? And so that's what I did. And so, you know, it was – we took the same model online, and we – I came to this stumbling block because it wasn't as easy as I thought. You know, one of the things where nobody knew who I was, I didn't have any trust. And trust in the online space, and I'll dive into this, if you're, especially if you're a coach or a fitness instructor, or you want to take yourself online, one of the biggest things that made it so easy for me to do sales face-to-face was people just felt connected to me. People wanted the energy. You know, it was body language, eye contact, everything that's there, it's trust. They believe in you 110%. When you go online and you're chatting to someone over the phone, you lose that trust. You lose that ability to connect. And so immediately they don't trust you, therefore they do not buy from you. So yeah, like, cool. Does that kind of give you the transitional phase in terms of the steps and almost the foundations as to what set me up online? So, you know, I went online in 2015 and I made a decision. And this was when I was like, okay, I have to make a decision to shut shop and go, cool, I'm telling my clients I'm leaving. End of 2014, I left. I said, guys, I'm sorry, I'm going online. I'm just going to go and do my more stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want to train people anymore. And I told them. But man, this was on my mind for like 2 years.
Yeah, okay.
I had built up so much dissatisfaction. But I wouldn't do anything because every time I jumped online, I would go back because it was so comfortable making $2,000 a week.
Yeah.
When I jumped online and I didn't have any success, you know, you don't push through failure when you're always wondering which side of the grass is greener.
Yeah, for sure.
And then in 2014, I was like, I've had enough. I need to do this and I'm going all in. I know I can make this work. And even though I don't know everything now, you know, there are people that know and I just have to keep pushing. That was my mindset. Yeah, so,
beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful.
And so now I'm in my second year at the moment of, I guess, running my online business, although I'm still doing face-to-face PT. So I guess I haven't fully transitioned as of yet. And I think it's mainly because I do enjoy like the strength and conditioning side of things where I am face-to-face, whether it be with individuals or teams or with PTs in the gym and stuff. But ultimately, I want to get to that point. And, you know, I've been doing it for 2 years and there's still so many things that I feel like not so much missing out on, but which I could be doing better. So for those listening, like I've just started up an online course with Lynn over the next kind of 6 weeks and I guess hopefully ongoing. But, you know, it obviously shows for me to have been doing it for 2 years and be missing, I guess, links to really run a successful and scalable online business. I would imagine there'd be plenty of PTs out there in the same boat as me. So what do you think are some of the mistakes that PTs are making that want to go into the online world or the online coaching world, but there's things holding them back or things that they're not doing they could be doing better? You mentioned before about building up the trust and not just trying to go for a sell when nobody even knows who you are. Is there anything that you could kind of suggest?
I could suggest a ton of things, man. And the first thing is changing your expectation. A lot of personal trainers, and including myself, I'm first to put my hand up. When I thought about online, I thought about passive income. I thought it'd be an easier way to make money and I'd have to work less. And that's generally the thought. In fact, the opposite is completely true, that, you know, jumping online, you're going to have to work harder.
Yeah, sure.
Work more. You're going to have to work more. But the fact is you get to work on your own freedom and your own time. And that's what you get in returns. The second thing I would say for most personal trainers jumping in the online space is that it's not completely online. Like your online program, let's say you take a 12-week transformation program, is the beginning to almost get more people to know you and get people results. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you want to be able to build an entire ecosystem around that, whether it's running workshops, seminars or taking guys on retreats or doing one day boot camps inside the gym completely, but allowing you to travel anywhere in the world because you've built up that trust and authority and you've used your online platform or your online program to get more clients, customers and loyal fans in. Does that make sense? So
yeah, definitely.
When I talk about online personal training, I think yes, one aspect of it is building out an online platform to train people and get them results. But without that connection, you know, the last thing that I want to do, and this is, I've had to figure this out the hard way, because for me, jumping behind a laptop, writing programs, uploading content, that's okay, but that doesn't fulfill me.
No,
like probably. Connection is the biggest thing. Being able to connect with people and hearing them and seeing them physically and going, oh my God, you changed my life, and having that presence is the game changer. But the online platform allows you to do that. understanding that you can reach people around the world. And when you get enough people going through your program, then you can build out an ecosystem. What I mean by an ecosystem is if I've got 100 people inside my 12-week system and they've all paid $1,000, well, if I decide that I want to run a retreat in Bali with five of them, now I've got five people who will fly to Bali and spend 5 days with me.
Yeah, sure.
Because they've already trusted me. So there are two things, man. It's the first is really changing your expectation. The second is understanding, okay, cool. You in order for you to grow and succeed, you have to go all in. I'm a big believer that if I stayed at the gym and I dabbled in online, I would not have gone online and done what or did what I did to grow and get people signed on. And the fact is there's this false illusion that you have to have a million subscribers or followers on Instagram. In fact, you know, last year I launched an agency that helps fitness professionals build their flagship program, their course and their funnels. And a lot of my clients were guys who had 2 million followers, 3 million followers. And it was astounding to see how much that they were still working inside of the gym, but to see the revenue that they were making online, and it wasn't as much as – it was nowhere near what I thought they were doing. In fact, you know, an average guy with 2 million followers on Facebook or Instagram makes about $3,000 a month online.
That's insane.
Which completely blows my mind because now I was going, look, I've got 4,000 followers, right? No one knows of me and I'm marketing in the US, but I'm getting people to sign up and pay me anywhere from $500 to $1,500 for my programs. And I know that if I can turn that around, we're doing 20, 30K a month. Yeah. Whereas these guys have millions of followers, yet they're making $3,000. They're selling ebooks. So that was a massive shift in dabbling and going all in the online space and talking to these people. It really allowed me, okay, what's my focus? Do I want a lot of followers who aren't going to pay me? Mm-hmm. Or do I want to spread a message and get people to pay me for my services because I just deliver?
Because they trust you, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you mentioned before about expectations, and I think as I mentioned before, like even when I started online, I almost expected to be able to, you know, post an ad out there or something on Facebook and then just get all these people coming in and dragging in traffic. But what is your opinion on putting out content? Like I know you're a massive believer of just putting out your best content without holding back. Do you think that's beneficial for bringing in more leads and building up trust?
Very good question. It really depends on which stage of your business you're in. I believe that if you're starting out from 0 to 100K online, the first thing for you is cash flow, trying to get leads, trying to sell. Like, because you've only got one of you inside of your business. You haven't been able to build a team. You haven't been able to build an infrastructure around you that supports you. If you're the only person, the most important job for you to go from zero to $50,000 is to get leads and make sales. So post an ad, deliver value in advance via running a challenge, via putting out a video series, by putting out content to get people to actually jump onto the phone with you. And I say this, using online, there are multiple ways to make sales. Now, there's a sales letter, which is a long form. Many people might have seen this. It goes for like pages long. But those are very carefully and carefully written, and they're crafted in such a way where, you know, these guys get paid $20,000 for a good sales letter because it's going to make money. Mm. As a personal trainer, we haven't acquired this skill. And for us to acquire this skill, it's going to take years. Mm-hmm. Okay, so sales letter, it's a good way, but It's not the fastest way to make money. Then there's something like a webinar where we can sell via webinar and we can convert. Once again, this is not a skill that a personal trainer has right now. So I look at the low-hanging fruit. I look at what are the skills you have right in front of you to make money now, because cash flow is so, so important inside your business. You know, when you're first starting out, you don't need to blog. You don't need to build a list and email market. That is kind of your medium to long-term game to build authority and positioning. But for any personal trainer, it's getting traction and momentum and results. And so if you're starting out online, your first goal is to deliver results. I would say go and train 5-10 people completely, get them to train them for free, get them results and get testimonials and referrals off them. That's the first thing. Show yourself that you can get someone results online. The second thing is set up your product or program, set up your 8-week program, 12-week program, 16-week program. Get leads in for it, market and sell. and do that again and don't deviate, because I see so many personal trainers jumping in the online space. They want to blog, they want to start a YouTube chat, they want to start Periscope, they want to be on Snapchat, they want to do all these things, but unfortunately at the end of the day, there's no cash flow in the bank. And so they jump back and they end up leaving the online space, jumping back into the gym, into corporate, and saying it didn't work for them.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a systematic process for everything.
Yeah, and that all almost leads me into the next question perfectly, actually. Like, I loved your episode on the Online Trainers podcast, how you spoke about dealing with overwhelm and I guess focusing on tactics and not strategies. And that's definitely something that I've struggled with and attended get to the point where I'm busy doing so much stuff, but I'm really not moving forward, I guess. What's your suggestion on how to really kind of step back and start to look at strategies and actually make the most of your time and put it towards something that's actually going to grow your business?
Yeah, really good, man. And this wasn't a concept I got until probably about a year ago when I started working with Tony Robbins and some of his programs, but it's called RPM. It's really focusing on the results and the outcomes first. So the way he puts this out is he says, well, what's the end result? What's the end result that you want first? And let's say, for example, a personal trainer wants 100 clients. That's the end result. So screw the Facebook ads, screw the blogs for a second. Just think about what is it that you want? And then the P that in RPM stands for the purpose. Like, why do you want it? And the why is super powerful, because what you'll notice in this game is that, you know, you might have all the strategies, you might have all the tools. We have all the tools, strategies, resources right in front of us, but we don't take action because there's no calling. We're too comfortable. There's no big why. So figure out your purpose, whether it's, you know, you want to change the world, whether it's you need money right at this very moment in time because you have to pay your mum back. What is your why? Stack your whys. Okay, so go down, and if you don't know your why, it's time to get thinking. It's time to ask yourself. Like, a lot of people say that they don't know, and I get that, and I completely get that, because I was in a place where I didn't know as well. The first step, okay, to getting out of that place is your first task is to find out what you want. Like, if you don't know, find out. Like, sit down and think about it for days. It's easy to say, I don't know, but all that does is it causes a blockage for you to not do anything. The more you don't know, the less you'll do, because it allows you, it's an excuse that stops you from moving forward, because you're like, I don't know. Okay, cool. Let's find out. Is generally what I say, right? So if you don't know what your purpose or what your why is, you have to sit down. Why do you want to do this in the first place? Is it for freedom? Do you want to not rock up to your boss anymore? Do you just want to live life on your own? Do you want to travel? Why do you want 100 online clients? Like, really stack it up, because deep down you can always go back to it when you're feeling crap, because there are days where you're not going to feel motivated, inspired, and the only thing that will pull you through is your why. So when you've got your why and you've stacked it up as powerful as you can, then M is your map, and it's your massive action plan. It's kind of figuring out, okay, to get 100 clients at this very moment in time, what are the hundreds of possible ways I could do that? And you sit down and you go, okay, cool. I can launch a Facebook ad. Okay, cool. I can write a blog. Okay, I can write a YouTube. I could set up a YouTube channel. I could go to all my clients and ask them for 5 referrals each and then set them up for free. I could go out and joint venture with a supplement store. For every supplement they sell, they get my program for free. If they bring a friend along and they get a friend for half price. So you're starting to think more strategically, and you sit down and you go, what are all the options? If I could resource, and you sit down for 10 minutes and write everything down. You don't hold back. You don't stop writing. Okay, you have to think. You don't stop at one answer. You write everything down. And then at the end of that, you pick the most viable ones that's going to get you there the quickest. Okay. Now, doing it this way, you'll get 100 clients. And you, what you have to say to yourself is you have to focus. Because when you have 100 different options, it's easy to take one option, hit resistance. Okay. Come to a brick wall and then go, oh, that doesn't work. I'm going to go back and find something else.
Go to the next one, yeah.
Exactly. So what you do is you map everything down and you pick the best three, because in your mind, they're the best. They're the best, right? They're the best three that's going to get you the 100 clients. That is the most feasible to getting you to your outcome the quickest, the best way, and the way that you want to do it. So now, logically, you've told yourself, right, I can't go and do the other things. This is the only road, because all those other roads, it's too hard. This is the easiest road. And dude, you just take massive action and you complete it. So every time, let's say you need to run a Facebook ads and you need to build a funnel. If that funnel fails, And chances are that it will, because you're not an internet marketer. You're not a salesperson. You're a personal trainer. You're a coach, and it will funnel. You need to start thinking about how you can readjust that funnel to make it work. So see how many, you know, is the funnel broken in the fact that you're not getting enough leads? Is the funnel, or maybe you're getting the leads, but no one's buying. Well, that just means your conversion process sucks. So how, what ways can you improve your conversion process? And you just start becoming a problem solver. Because I see this time and time again, I see a lot of people launch a funnel and they say it doesn't work. And I'm like, okay, cool. Which bit of the funnel doesn't work? Okay, cool. I'm getting the leads. I've got 100 guys. You know, I've got 100 prospects to talk to. They've signed up for a challenge. I'm delivering value. 20 guys are on the phone, but they're not buying because they don't have any money. Okay. Mm. And so this false belief comes in and it says it doesn't work yet. And because people don't have money, and what happens is people stop and they go back and they're like, okay, it doesn't work because people don't have money, this doesn't work. And the fact is, and I had this conversation this morning, I was like, dude, do these people that you're talking to own an iPhone? And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, do they own an iPhone? And I'm like, and he's like, yeah, of course, yeah, I think half of them own an iPhone. And I'm like, if they didn't have money, they would buy a HTC or an Android or a $100 phone. Okay, they're not going to buy the best iPhone.
Yeah.
So what you're really saying to me is they don't see enough value in your product and service to invest.
Mm.
Because the truth is the online fitness space is so competitive that everybody's trying to do the same thing. And if you've got Men's Health magazine selling a 12-week transformation program, if you buy their magazine for $15, if you've got free YouTube channels, if you've got Instagram stars selling the ebook for $50, why would they invest $500 in your program?
Yeah.
And this is the problem. And this is where we're going to go deeper. If you really, truly want to become successful online, you have to become a problem solver and you have to niche down. Okay, because niching down is going to separate you from the pack. Becoming a problem solver every single time is when you hit a point, you have to figure out why people aren't buying. And if you've got 100 leads and you're not converting those leads into sales, people aren't buying because they don't see enough value inside of your product. And so the excuse that comes up is, I don't have money. Or they don't want your product.
Mm.
They don't see the value. They compare it because it's comparable to another product. And it's like, well, why would I pay $500? I know, like, I really like you. You're really awesome. You're delivered value. But you're selling me the same thing I can get for $50.
Yeah, for sure.
So what I generally tell these guys is I say, yeah, okay, you're on the red ocean. There's this concept called red ocean and blue ocean. Blue ocean is when it's all about supply and demand, okay? The supply is less than the demand. There's more demand for your product than there is supply. Inside the fitness space, there's way more supply than there is demand. So you take yourself out from red ocean and stop selling abs, and you go, okay, if I was selling to dads, what does he really want?
Mm.
What are his pains? What are his hopes, dreams, and desires? And for a dad, you have to look at it, man. He wants more intimacy with his wife. He wants to be more respected. He wants to be a leader. He probably wants to have more energy and feel less lethargic. He wants to be, wants to have sex with his wife twice a week, three times a week, as many times. He wants her to look at him like she looked at him at the altar, and he's not getting that. And yet so many people are going by and telling this dad fat loss.
Yeah.
So if you think about blue ocean and you come up with a program that can help solve the problem, like, dads, we're going to get you more confident, we're going to get you so desirable at this moment. Yes, we're going to focus physically, but I'm going to show you the habits, I'm going to show you and give you the confidence, but also we're going to improve your sex hormones and we're going to get those pheromones out so she becomes attracted to you again. It's a completely different concept.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, for sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it definitely does. I think the example you might have used in the podcast, which I really, really liked, was I think it was something on the lines of, if you had 2 hours a day to grow your online business, what would you spend that 2 hours doing? And I think that definitely helped me a lot in kind of narrowing down what I should be spending my time on and not just doing bits and pieces from stuff that's really not going to bring me any closer to kind of where I want to be.
Yeah, and adding to that, man, I do feel as though everyone's busy. Everyone's busy. Everybody's so, so busy, but no one's productive. What I mean by that is I think we make ourselves busy because we've got nothing to do. The truth is I don't believe any personal trainer, any coach jumping online space is really that busy. We look at people like Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, those guys, Richard Branson, yeah, hundreds of companies. They're busy, but they're so productive with what they do. And so it's trying to go, if I only had 30 minutes to get this done, if I only had an hour using time, because throughout uni, I noticed that I would get amazing projects done 3 hours before it was due, the night before it was due, but I had months to do it.
Yeah.
And so it's using that time to kind of go, okay, cool, I've taken on 5 big projects, but I'm not going to email or blog because that's not making the most of my time now. What is it that I need to do? Whether it's hiring a salesperson and paying them 20% or 30% of what you're going to get paid to actually do the calls for you so you don't ever do calls again.
Mm,
okay?
Yeah.
But it's completely backing yourself and going, okay, cool, I don't like doing calls. Well, let's figure out a solution to that problem that you're having. And I do feel as though most people are busy. We don't have time. But most people are wasting their time procrastinating. And for me, I'm using a method in the 12-week year that really allows you to get more done in 12 weeks than most people do in a year by just compressing. And with time management, you have to really, just like anything, just like training in the gym and counting your macronutrients, if you don't manage your time and you don't assess it, so I have 30-minute blocks every single day and I go, okay, cool. Out of those 20, 30-minute blocks, how many outcomes did I get complete? And man, when I started this, I'd get 1 out of 20.
Mm.
Yeah, like, and yeah. It was miserable and I sucked. And I wanted to give up and I said, well, this isn't working. I'm like, no, this is just objective data. How can I improve this data? And if next week, if I get 3 out of 20, I'm winning. And so I started this thing about 8 months ago. And now I'm probably at about 60 to 70%. When I started out, I was at 10, 5.
Yeah.
And so really having a look at where you're spending your time for results, not action. Okay. Yeah. Because action doesn't always lead to results. What are the outcomes you want?
That's really good. Really good. All right. Well, I want to finish up with a couple of bit more relaxed questions, I guess. So,
it's intense, isn't it?
It is. It's just good. I love it. Do you have any daily or morning rituals that you stick to each day?
Yeah, man, morning walk. Something about meditation. I've tried meditation. My brain just can't switch off. But I think when I walk and I just take deep breaths, I just focus on my breathing. I don't know. There's something about that allows me to just tap into creativity. Like when you walk long enough, the first 5 minutes suck. The first 5 minutes is like, oh my God, this is a waste of time. I've got other things to do. And then as you get into it, you're like, you're so calm, relaxed, and things will come to you. Like I truly believe that things will come to you when you let it come to you. And so that walk allows me to think more strategically on a higher level. It allows me to be grateful for what I have. So morning walk for me. I've tried meditation. I've tried hot, cold showers. I love that stuff because, you know, it's having full control of yourself, knowing that if you're telling yourself you're going to do something, you'll do it.
Mm.
But for me, it's always going back to that morning walk and going, I feel really good after 25 minutes. You get to this threshold where, you know, you walk long enough and your body starts to relax and you start to just think deeply.
Yeah, okay, cool. And how was the Tony Robbins event that you went to? You went to a Tony Robbins event relatively recently, yeah?
Yeah, dude, absolutely amazing. Like I've been following, he's probably been one of the most pivotal guys that shifted my mindset since 2013. Absolutely awesome, man. And so, you know, I've been working with Tony. I've gone to a few of his events now. The one in Sydney, as always, really, really good. Mm-hmm. I do feel as though, you know, going to one of those events, you get a massive spike of energy. And as soon as that finishes, if you can instill the habits, if you can commit and make a decision that you're going to stick and incorporate these habits that you've learned, then it's life-changing. But I know that habits for some people are so hard to build. And so they don't get the complete or full results that they were expecting. But man, absolutely amazing.
Awesome. And if you guys don't know who Tony Robbins is, you've been living under a rock or something. I don't know what. So for any of the trainers out there that have been interested in this podcast, you can go and check out Lynn's podcast, the Online Trainers podcast. There's heaps of awesome content there, and you've been uploading like crazy lately.
Yeah, dude, one a day, every day. It's awesome. It's one of those things that you talk about daily rituals for me. You know, we talk about walking, but something that I do no matter what, is a podcast, and I'll do an email a day. And that's just a habit, because that's one of the things that I've lacked over the years is consistency. And I really wanted to prove to myself that I want to stay as consistent as possible. So that's a really good habit I've built for the last 3-4 months now, which is cool. So one podcast a day, talking just about strategies and mindset and growth and you know, lead generation, sales, how to become a better coach, but also an email just to get better at writing, crafting.
Yeah, and I would highly recommend you guys check that out. So thanks heaps for joining us today, Lynn, and hopefully we'll get you on again at some stage. But if there's anything else you'd like to add, feel free. But if not, thanks again.
My pleasure, brother. It's been awesome.
Great. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening today. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast already, please do. Leave a 5-star rating and review if you've enjoyed this episode or any previous ones. And I look forward to chatting to you all in next week's episode.